I am your host, Taylor McClure, for CIDI's Daily News Show, and you are tuning in to Township's Daily News Bits. On this episode of Township's Daily News Bits, I have the opportunity of speaking with Anne-Marie, the archivist here at the Brome County Historical Society. After the Magog Historical Society announced that it had to suspend its activity as it's in the midst of ongoing negotiations with the city of Magog regarding their funding, it sounded the alarm bells for other historical societies and archive centers in the eastern townships. As someone with a lot of experience working for historical societies and archives, I asked Anne-Marie to speak to us about this challenge of historical societies and archive centers receiving funding and how important it is to ensure that the history and heritage of the region is preserved. Thank you so much for being here with me, Anne-Marie. I really appreciate your time. So back in January, Anne-Marie, the Magog Historical Society suspended its activities due to negotiations with the city regarding its funding. And when I went this morning to look on the website, there's a message that says their activities are still suspended up to this day. An article appeared in the Sherbrooke Record not long afterwards, written by reporter Gordon Lambie, and it highlighted how the situation with the Magog Historical Society sounded the alarms amongst other historical societies here and archive centers in the townships for various reasons. Now, I'm not sure if you were aware of that situation with the Magog Historical Society, but as the archivist of the Brome County Historical Society, a former member of the Fédération Histoire Québec, which is a nonprofit organization that helps other nonprofit organizations with history in their mission, is receiving recurring funding for historical societies, often a challenge for these institutions that preserve the history and heritage here of our region. From your experience, is this an issue in the historical society and archives world?
Yeah, well, it's a big question because historical societies were created, well, some many years ago. In fact, the Brome County is 125 years old. It's one of the oldest historical societies in Quebec. Most of them were created after the Second World War. They decided that it was important to keep the history of, well, regional, local and regional history. So the historical societies were created by volunteers, and it has since always been working with volunteers. The problem, if we can call it a problem, is that the archivist world and the museum world is more professional now. So the museums and archive center want to have professional employees, and they want to have a salary. So that's the main problem of historical society, is they don't have the money to pay someone to do the job. What happened is during the 1980s, the government decided to create, along with the archive, the National Archives, decided to create a program that would allow some historical societies that have archives to be accredited and to have a grant, an annual grant to pay the salary of an archivist. So it was a good intention at start. But, there's a but, when the National Archives asked the government, so, okay, we're going to give accreditation to historical societies, the government said, well, we don't have much money to put into that. So we're gonna create one accredited archive center per administrative region.
Okay.
So at that time we had 16 regions. So the government said we're gonna have 16 accredited archive center. So it was accepted. But they realized quickly that there were more archive centers than just one per region. Like in the Montérégie, that's a big region. Many archive centers that were in historical society asked to be accredited. And they said, no, there's only already one. So they said, no, it's not working. We have to have more than just one archive center per region.
Kind of left the other archive centers in the dust.
Exactly. Basically. So the government said, okay, well, you can have more, but you won't have more money for that. So they had to split the budget between all the historical societies that were accredited or that would like to be accredited. Finally, it came up to giving accreditation to 4, 5, or 6 archive centers for some region, but each archive center received $20,000 a year. So it wasn't enough to pay the salary of a professional archivist. So the Historical Society had to figure out another way of having money to be able to work. So they asked the municipalities, and some accepted and some did not. They said, no, we already have archives for the town and that's enough for us. So that created kind of a comfort situation, and historical society that weren't accredited, well, they didn't have any money. So that's what created like
the challenge,
challenge, and it created like, well, we have historical society that are professional and some that are not professional, but that's not real. The reality, I worked for 7 years as a volunteer archivist. I have my diploma and I worked there for free because they didn't have the budget to give me a salary. So some historical society, they have an archivist, but it's badly paid because they don't have the money to pay an archivist to do the job. So historical societies, some decided to put up a little museum that would give them income, and it worked well, and that's what happened at the Brome County Historical Society. They have the archive center and there's the museum also. And the thing is, some museum went so well that decided to split the museum from the Historical Society. So in order to have some grants, they had to be alone, not under the Historical Society. So what happened is that the budget, the income, that money that went for the Historical Society that had a museum, well, the money was transferred to the museum and the Historical Society was left with no budget.
Okay.
And, but there was a museum functional. I think that's what happened in Megab. You have the Mary, Maison Mary, that is a museum, and you have the Historical Society that is, well, alone.
They consider it like two separate entities, basically, but you can't really have a museum if you don't have a historical society that's overseeing that and preserving the history.
The information.
Yeah, because the information is what brings museums to life.
Exactly, and that's what creates exhibit, publication, and all the information that is in the archive can be used for different project, but
it's so strange how they consider it two separate entities. It's very strange.
Exactly. And what happened during the 90s, municipality had the opportunity to have some programs to highlight the history of a region, but you had to prove that people would come to look at exhibits or to look at archives. But people have no use of looking at archives. You have to be able to have an exhibit or an activity based on the archives. But people don't come and look at old documents, you see? So the problem is municipalities decided to give money for specific projects. They gave grants for exhibits, but the museum is not part of the Historical Society anymore. So when the Historical Society asked municipalities, can we have money too? They said, no, you're not the museum. We want to give money to the museum for exhibits. We don't have money for you. So what it created created like a battle.
An imbalance almost.
Yeah, between historical societies and museums. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of bad situation. So now governments, either municipal, provincial, or federal, are figuring out this situation.
Okay.
So that's why we have, over here at the Brome County Historical Society, we have two accreditations. We have one for the museum and one for the archives, but we are still two entities under the Historical Society.
Yes.
So that's the more interesting way of doing things. What's happening now is Historical Society have difficulty and don't have people who wants to go work there. And finally, what happens is that they close down, but the documents that were kept by the Historical Society isn't put in trash. Every historical society that is incorporated is by law an item that says if ever the historical society closes down, the documents should be transferred to another historical society or an accredited historical society, well, archive center.
Okay, because that was one of the concerns that were actually raised in the article by the executive director of the museum in Sherbrooke, David Lacoste. There's a concern as to what happens with these objects of historical significance or documents.
As historical societies are not under an association, they don't know how to work on those matters. But the Fédération Histoire Québec is there to help them. But the Fédération Histoire Québec, when I went to on the board of directors in 2012, it was to have an archivist on the board of directors of the Fédération in order to make things happen about this matter. And that's what I did for the 6 years that I was there. People in historical society are realizing that they have a responsibility, but if they cannot work anymore and they have to close down, they have other resources. And going to Fédération Histoire Québec and saying, can you help me? Yes, we can. We're going to help you figure out what to do.
Yeah, and find a place for your...
Exactly. Okay. Or to negotiate with municipalities and government saying, hey, we have a treasure here and we're not the only one who should care about them.
That was another thing you spoke to me, Amelia, before we started the interview, is that the municipality also has responsibility for some documents as well that are in the archive centers under a law that the government set in place.
Yes, because municipalities have also a responsibility for their documents. They have to keep them forever. And they cannot donate documents of the town to historical society, but it's like that since 1983 when the archives bill was created.
Yeah.
So since 1983, the towns know that they have to keep their documents. They cannot donate them. What happened is some towns gave their documents because they didn't have room to keep them to historical societies before 1983. So now what we have to do is to have an agreement between historical societies and towns that gave documents that they have finally to get back or get the historical society to keep them, but do a contract and custody contract. So that's what we're working now. Towns are realizing that they have a responsibility, and some little towns don't even have an archivist.
Mm-hmm.
So they turn to historical society and they said, can you help us? And we go, yeah, but we don't have the resource, the financial or the human resource to help you. So
like we can take the documents, but if we don't have anyone to do anything with them, it's just...
Exactly. So that's all moving right now in the archives world.
So the all levels of government are kind of finally seeing where the challenge lies here.
Exactly. And who should pay for the archivist's salary?
Yes. You were mentioning that to me before. Like, if they ask historical societies to keep the documents, they're going to have to pay for the space.
Exactly.
But you kind of answered my next few questions. So I'll go to my next one here. I was going to ask you if you can speak on the importance of preserving documents and preserving the history and heritage here of our region. If all was lost, I'm sure our society would look a lot different.
Yes, indeed, because we learn from the people that were here before us, and we have to transmit what we have learned during our lifetime. And if we are here in a nice building, well, there's somebody worked on this project, and it should be interesting. We can look up to people that were here before us and what they did. And at the same time, we should look up to people that were here and did some bad things and to learn from them.
As people say, history is a lesson.
And not repeat the same mistakes that people did before. So we have to realize that humanity, we think that we are long-living people. No, we're just a second on the Earth's lifetime.
Yeah.
But we have to be aware that we have a responsibility, and we have to understand what's done before, so we can do things that are in line with what was done before and that has a future to it.
A lot of townshipers as well, when I've spoken to so many people through my work, they say how knowing about the history of their region or the area also kind of gives a sense of identity as to, you know, like where we come from.
Exactly. And what's interesting is to see how people got through life before us and what they had to deal with. And even what I find interesting in the Eastern Township, because I have lived in many regions, although I was born in Sherbrooke, but I realize that many regions have their specific history. Even though the towns were created the same way, with someone coming and saying, that's an interesting spot.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to build a town here.
Yeah.
It's the same everywhere.
Process, yeah.
But it's the way it was done and who came here and what they did. And what I would like very much to point out is the fact that even though history was written by men, many decisions were made by women because they were the one responsible for the community. And they didn't even have a name. They took the name of their husband. And what we learn is that Mr. Nathaniel Pettis did something and Mrs. Nathaniel Pettis did something. So you see, the women's history is hidden behind the men, but many, many important knowledge and transmission was made by the women. So that's what, well, my personal goal is to take the women out of the blindness that we have and say, hey, look, Mrs. Nathaniel Pettis was in fact Narcissa Farah.
Yeah.
So you see, and who was Narcissa Farah and what did she do? So that's the interesting part, to make people realize that it was not just a man's story.
Yeah. So. History helps people change their perspectives as well and perceptions of society, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot to learn from them.
Yeah.
And my next question, Anne-Marie, was I was going to ask you from your perspective, does the government, town, city, municipality, etc., that the historical societies serve have a responsibility to ensure that the historical societies have the funding they need for operations and to preserve their archives? But it seems like, from what I'm getting, you do believe that they do have that responsibility.
Yes, they do realize it. The problem is the Ministère de la Culture is the ministère that has the less budget money. So even BANQ, Bibliothèque et Archives Nationales du Québec, has difficulty to have the money to function. It's well, kind of normal to see the situation in historical society. We have less money because everyone has less money. So what we try to do is to make people realize that when they make a donation, it's not just for a specific project. A specific project, we can have grants for that.
Yes, exactly.
It's for us to be able to do the job.
To operate.
Exactly. So when people say, well, you have a salary, so what's the problem? Well, the problem is the salary. We need the money to pay the people who will do the job for a project that are granted, you see?
So, or asked from the community.
Exactly. Because it's not just a one person responsibility. It's a community responsibility. So, I understand that history is not the favorite topics of everyone, but everyone can relate to history.
Yes.
Sometimes they don't realize that when they receive something, a gift from, I don't know, their grandmother, she's transmitting history.
Personal history, too.
Exactly. So that's very important for people to understand. And even though they are not keen of the history, the military history or the judge's history, there's a part of that comes from the community.
And those are all the questions that I had for you, Emery, about this topic, but I wasn't sure if there was anything that I missed that you think would be important to mention or to bring up and to make people aware of.
Well, the fact that volunteer work is very appreciated over here because, well, in every historical society, we need volunteers because there's lots of job to do. The problem, well, it's not a problem, but specifically to the Brome County Historical Society, we received the accreditation in 2018. And that caused not a problem, but we cannot rely on volunteers to do archival work because as we are accredited by BINQ, the archival work must be done by an archivist.
By a professional, yeah.
Exactly. So that transferred the responsibility. And when I ask people, well, do you want to volunteer? Oh, yeah, no problem. I can go in the archive. No, you cannot anymore, you see? So that's a kind of problem and not a problem.
Another challenge.
Yeah, another challenge is to make people understand, yeah, but now we are allowed to be professional, but some work that was done by volunteers before cannot be done anymore, unless it's tightly supervised by the archivist.
So being accredited has some advantages, but also has some challenges too. Like it'll allow you to receive funding, but if you don't receive enough funding, you can't rely on volunteers anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So we have to balance responsibilities and be able to go forward, even though we have an accreditation that sometimes gives us a headache. But that's the part that is very interesting in the archives world.
Yeah. Well, this is why I wanted to speak to you, is because I'm sure a lot of people don't know about this, and it's a really interesting topic to make people aware of. Like, it's not just something to pass by on.
It's not just putting papers in boxes and keeping them tightly secure and not people getting anything out of this.
Yeah.
It's really to be able to know what we have and to be able to put up exhibits and books and catalogs that would make people understand what history is. It's a nice way to learn what we have, to open box and see, oh, that's interesting. Okay, I'm going to write an article about that. So that's a way of doing things that can relate to people, but it was not done by an historian. It was done by the archivist, you see, so.
And I don't know if you wanted to take the opportunity, Emily, to maybe speak about the Brome County Historical Archives. You know, you showed me the wonderful space that you have now. I didn't know if maybe you wanted to talk about that a little bit more to make the community aware as to the great space they have right in their own community.
Yeah, exactly. When I came in 2020, the Brome County Historical Society had decided that all the archives would be kept in the old courthouse. There was some in the Centennial Building and some in the Academy, and there were archives everywhere. So right now, because of the COVID situation, it was delayed, but we're getting everything in the old courthouse, and we have new shelves since 2020, and we can put all the archives in proper boxes and be able to identify them and know that the box that talks about Narcissa Farin is on this shelf, you see. So that's the interesting challenge that we have now. There are many jobs to do, but it's so interesting. And the fact is, the Brome County Historical Society, since its beginning in 1897, I learned through some files that were written by Reverend Taylor, and he was saying it's important to keep the memory of the pioneer families. And what I realize now, 125 years later, is there are still descendants of pioneers family here. It seems that people are enjoying living here. And that's what I find so fascinating. And that's what I want people to know, to realize the treasure that I have here. So,
well, thank you so much, Amethy, again for chatting with me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it was fun.
Township's Daily News Bits is a program sponsored by Local Journalism Initiative.